to speak about two psukim in the Sedra that speak about mitzvahs in general. This year we've devoted again each Sedra to a mitzvah in the Sedra, but this Sedra has something, two things that speak about mitzvah observance in general. The first one is Vayomer im shamoa tishma lekol Hashem Elokecha v'hayosher be'in of taseh v'hazanto lemitzvosov v'shamarto kol chukov. If you will listen to the voice of Hashem, your God, and you'll do what is straight in His eyes, and you will pay attention to His mitzvahs, and you will observe all His statutes, then all of the sickness that I put on Mitzrayim, I won't put on you, because I'm the God who is your doctor. That's basically what the pasuk says. The Torah Shlema brings down that this is the klal that all the Torah is included in this sentence. In other words, the observance of the entire Torah, how to do it properly, is included in this sentence. So let's see what it includes. The Mechilta says, why does it say Shamoa Tishma? Double language. If you listen and listen. So first it says, if a person listens to one mitzvah, then he'll be told many mitzvahs. If he forgets one mitzvah, he'll forget many mitzvahs. The idea being that the observance of mitzvahs, even though it depends on free choice, and when it comes to free choice, God does not interfere. But on the other hand, there is a concept of siyata d'shmaya after you make that choice. You need tremendous help from heaven even to keep mitzvahs. And therefore, if you habol etaher messiah law, a person who comes to be purified, is help from heaven. Right? Piskuli pesach kichudo shel machad, open for me a little pinhole, and I'll open for you wide doors, the Rav Anishom says. So when it comes to mitzvahs, a person has to know that he has to make the first step, but after that he'll get siyata d'shmaya. He keeps one mitzvah, the Rav Anishom will see to it he can keep many mitzvahs. But if, on the other hand, you want to not keep mitzvahs, you forget mitzvahs, then the Rabbanu will see to it that you forget a lot of mitzvahs. We have this idea of mitzvah goreris mitzvahs. Not only you'll have siyata d'shmaya, you'll have help from the outside, but more than that, you will also have what's it called? The mitzvah itself helps to drag along other mitzvahs. And they say what it means is if you do an easy mitzvah, then that makes it easier for you to do a harder mitzvah. So mitzvahs that are very difficult to do, if you get into the habit of doing mitzvahs that are easier to do, the Rebbe Nachman will help you, and the mitzvah itself will help you to do mitzvahs that are harder to do. The Gemara in Brachos says a different idea. Why it says the double language, Shomoa Tishma, Shim Shoma B'yoshon Tishma B'chodosh. If you listen to the old, what you've become used to, you'll be able to hear new. Okay? Meaning that it's not only the actual observance of the mitzvah which gives you help and makes it easier to do more mitzvahs, but even the acceptance of the mitzvah and learning about them, right? The more that you learn about mitzvahs, the more that you accept them, what you've gotten used to already will give you a chance to have new insights in the mitzvahs and new hislavos, new verve and excitement in doing the mitzvahs. And the Vilna Gaon explains that bracha means to increase, to multiply. You can't have a bracha on nothing, because if you multiply nothing, you get nothing. You have to have something. That's why when they wanted to, Elisha wanted to give this woman oil, right? He had to start with something that she gave him, and then he could multiply and increase it. You have to start with something. So too, first you have to start doing your mitzvah, understanding of what you can. Once you have that, then the Ribbono Shel Olam can make it increase and multiply it or whatever. So if you listen to the old, you start with a base, the Ribbono Shel Olam will give you to understand and to accept even the new. The Ibn Ezra explains that Shamoa Tishma refers to understanding the idea behind the mitzvahs. Even though a person has to do the mitzvahs, unconditionally, whether he understands it or not, but there is an idea to understand them also. So in doing the mitzvah, a person should try to understand as much as he can. That's not the prerequisite for doing it, understanding it. But since God wants us to appreciate what we're doing, and he did give us ideas in the mitzvah, ta'am they have mitzvah, so it's an idea to understand them as much as you can, and to delve into them as much as you can. The Meiri says, on the pasuk, tuv tam vadas lamdeni, ki b'mitzvosecho he'emanti, which means, teach me, tam vadas, tastes and understandings in the mitzvahs, because I believe in your mitzvahs. It's not that I need the understanding and the taste to believe. I believe already. But once I believe already, I'd like to enhance my mitzvahs by understanding as much as I can. So if the understanding follows the acceptance, then that's fine. If it's a prerequisite to the acceptance, that's no good. That's the idea of Nasa v'Nishma. We accepted the Torah unconditionally, but we then said, Nishma, we'd like to understand as much as we can. And God wants us to understand. And the Beis Halevi says the understanding is part of God's will. Just as much as I do the mitzvah because God wants me to do it, I understand the mitzvah because God wants me to understand it too, as much as I can. Rashi says that, im shamoa tishma, to hear, shamoa, shma Yisrael, can mean to hear, which is what the Ibn Ezra says, listen into the mitzvah. It can also mean to accept. Shma Yisrael can mean hear, accept Israel. So Rashi learns that other meaning. Shamoa, if you accept the mitzvahs. Okay, so the first level is acceptance of the mitzvah. And at the same time that you accept it, try to understand as much as you can. Okay. Reb Zalman from Volozhin says, Shamoa Tishma implies review of Torah. You listen, and then you listen again, and again you constantly review the learning of the mitzvahs over and over again. Somebody once asked him, he used to review things hundreds of times, and he was a genius, so he didn't have to. So they asked him, we only find, it says somebody reviews something 101 times is superior to the person who reviews it 100 times. We don't find more than 100 times, though. So he said, that's to fulfill the mitzvah of learning Torah. 100 times is, or 101 times is sufficient. But I love the Torah so much, it's so precious to me that I can't give it up. If I hear something, I'm going to go over and over and over and over it. That's a function of chibuv haTorah, of the preciousness of Torah. That's what's learning Torah. You're right. Learning Torah 101 times is enough. Preciousness of Torah, show how precious it is. There's no limit. Okay, so that's the first part of mitzvahs. V'hoya im shamoa tishmu. im shamoa tishma lekol Hashem elokecha. Shamoa Tishma implies, as we said, acceptance of the mitzvah. After you accept it, to understand as much as you can, to feel the mitzvah is precious, and to review it over and over again, and to understand that if you do your part, God will give you special divine assistance. That's the first part. Next, L'kol Hashem Elokecha. What are you listening to? The voice of God. So the Mechilta says this refers to the Aseres HaDibros, because that's what we heard directly from God's voice. The other things we heard through Moshe Rabbeinu. But the Aseres HaDibros we heard directly from God, we heard his voice. So what is special about the Aseres HaDibros? Right? It starts with, if you listen to the voice of God, we have 613 mitzvahs. Why single out the 10? So there's a few ideas. One idea simply is that since the 10 Dibros were given to us directly by God, they form the foundation of our belief that these mitzvahs are divine. So if you listen to the Aseres HaDibros and you treat the mitzvahs as divine imperatives, then all of these good things will happen to you. If you treat the mitzvahs as social customs, as culture, and not as divine things, right, then that's not keeping the mitzvahs. Mitzvah means a command. If you keep it as a divine command, it's a mitzvah. If you keep it because of the social nicety, culturally, then it's not a mitzvah at all. That's something you're deciding to do on your own. You don't feel it as a command. That's one idea. Second idea in the Aseres HaDibros is the following. I'm trying to do this concisely as we can, because we could spend the rest of the shiur on this idea alone. But I mention it here passed, and there's no reason to have to go into it in detail. And that is the following. The mitzvos are not disjointed, separate things that we're supposed to do, that God wants us to do a bunch of things. But God has one all-encompassing will for the entire life and lifestyle of a human being. That's what the Torah is all about. It's a guide how to guide your life in every area, every second, whatever you're doing, thinking, speaking, to do it in a godly way. That's what God wants. He wants you to be a Yirei Shamayim. God-fearing person, meaning someone who recognizes that he was created by a God and has a responsibility to act in a godly way. That's all God wants, but it encompasses everything. So God gave us 613 mitzvahs as windows to be able to understand and apply that all-inclusive, all-pervasive divine will. The example I like to give is, have a light bulb that is so big and so bright that it's impossible to look at. It's too big and too bright to be able to look at and see it. So you take the light bulb and you put it into a big globe and you cut 613 little windows in the globe, all over the globe. Through each little window you can see one small portion of the light bulb, which is seeable. How do you know what the whole light bulb looks like? By looking through all 613 windows, one after the other, you get a composite picture of the light bulb. Similarly, there is one light bulb, that's God's will, that applies to every aspect of a person's life, that he should live it in a godly way. Speaking, thinking, acting, in every area of life, every second of his life. But we can't approach that directly. It's too all-inclusive. It's too overwhelming. So God gave us 613 mitzvahs. When you do the mitzvah, it opens a window to give you an understanding of one small part of God's will, which now you're supposed to apply to your whole life. Shabbos teaches a person, aside from the mitzvah of Shabbos, which applies one day a week, but it's supposed to teach a person how to set up his goals and standards, what's the main thing in life, that everything is only a means to reach a spiritual end. It's not an end in itself. The 6 days lead up to a Shabbos. So Shabbos is supposed to teach me how to lead my life the rest of the week. In regards to this, what my goals are, what's the main thing in life, what's the secondary thing in life. So Shabbos is a very narrow mitzvah that applies one day a week. But the lessons of Shabbos have to be applied the entire week and in everything you're doing. So Shabbos reveals to me one aspect of that divine will, other mitzvahs, other aspects. That's why we find that there are two ideas in listening to the Torah. One is to listen to what God said, and the other one is to listen into. Lishmoa likol Hashem, to listen to God's voice, listen into God's voice, bikol Hashem. Listening to means keeping the mitzvah. Listening into means after you keep the mitzvah, what is it supposed to teach you about the rest of your life, about God's will, not just his command. And that's why the Navi complains many times that the Jewish people, keep the Torah at tzav letzav. They keep it as a command here, a command there. They don't see that it's all an expression of God's will that applies to everything in life. They just see it as a bunch of disjointed commands. Do this, don't do that. Right? A bunch of rules. It's not a bunch of rules. It's a guide for a person's entire life. All he thinks and does and speaks and so on. Now the Ribbono Shel Olam got that point across by giving us the Ten Commandments, the Aseres HaDibros. Rav Sadia Gaon says that all of the 613 mitzvahs are hinted to in the Ten Commandments. And the number 10 represents a unity of many things into one. Because one is the absolute one, and then 10 returns to that original one after you take all the many things, the 9 integers, and you combine them together, now you have another one, one unit of tens. 100 is 10 units of tens, which is another unit. 1,000 is 10 units of 100, another one. You keep returning to the one. So 10 is the first number that takes many things and unites them into one unit of tens, which also shows unity. So if you want to show that all the mitzvahs are united, you give them hinted to in 10 different ways, 10 different things that unite into one. And not only that, but originally God gave all 10 in 1 second, in one dibur. And then he went and said them each one separately. Why did he do that? It says that it's something that we couldn't hear, and no human being could duplicate. So what, God wanted to show us he could do things we can't do? Why did he do something that made no impression on us? But the answer is he wanted us to know the Torah is not a bunch of separate things. It's all one thing. It's one will of God that encompasses everything, but you can't hear it like that. You can't relate to it like that. So I'm going to have to say it over again, and first in 10, and then the whole 613, but never think that it stops separate things. It all emanates from one all-encompassing will of God that applies to everything equally. And this is the idea of listening into what God said and listening to what God said. So that's another step along the way in keeping mitzvahs, and that is understanding their import. Understanding they're not just a bunch of things to do, but they're something that is supposed to form and shape your entire life and lifestyle. Next. L'kol Hashem Elokecha, the Torah Shlema brings down that that is Masa Umatan Be'emuna. Nosei Ve'nosei Emuna. What is listening to the voice of God? Dealing in business honestly. In your relationship between people, commercially, whatever, to be honest people. Okay? And this is the same idea. The Torah has to be permeate a person's entire life, even his secular life, even his commercial life. You can't be frum in shul, and then when you go to conduct your business, you're a cutthroat, right? And the Torah doesn't apply over there. So that's why right after the Torah was given at Har Sinai, what are the first laws that God discusses? Mishpatim, the civil laws of everyday life, because that's what Torah is. Torah is something that has to permeate every situation, every mundane situation. That's what Torah is all about. Another explanation of the Kol Hashem Elokecha, that you will listen to the voice of God, refers to the agados, the non-halachic part of Torah Shebaal Peh, right? The part that, the story part, if you want, right? But what is the purpose of that? What are the purpose of the stories in the Gemara, right? The non-halachic part is to teach you Musar, Hashkafa, right? Midos Tovos, Hanhagos Tovos, same idea. Here are the things that teach you the philosophy behind the mitzvahs, the things that put all the mitzvahs together and apply it to everyday life, to how your personality is, what your demeanor is, how you deal with other people, what your beliefs are. All of that is L'kol Hashem Elokecha. It's listening to the voice of God, which started with the Aseres HaDibros, where God himself told you, I'm not just telling you a bunch of things, I'm telling you my will for your entire life and lifestyle. And that's why he gave it through the Ten Commandments. That means that you're going to have to apply it to every mundane thing in life. How you deal with other people and how you deal with business also is going to have to be permeated with that. And you'll learn that from the Agados. You'll learn that from the Musar and Hashkafa part of the Torah. Okay, then further. Next step in keeping the mitzvahs. Hayosher be'enof ta'ase. You will do what is straight in God's eyes. The Ibn Ezra says that refers to the positive commandments. To do, right, what you do in acts of action, of doing. You'll do what's straight in God's eyes. You'll do the various positive commandments. And the positive commandments are a function of avas Hashem, of love of God. You do positive actions because you love God. Others say that hayosher be'enof ta'ase means lifni mishuras hadin. You won't be satisfied just to do the minimum. You'll go beyond the letter of the law. You'll enhance what the law is all about. And others compare it to what it says in Pirkei Avos, Hayosher Bein Avyase, Eze Derech Yishora, Sheyover Lo Ha'adam. Right? What is a straight path, the Mishnah asks in Pirkei Avos, that a person should choose for himself? Kol Shehi Tiferes Le'oseha V'Tiferes Lo Min Ha'adam. Anything that brings glory to the one who created him, in other words, to God, and to people. that you do the mitzvah in a way that brings glory to God, you do it properly, and also you do it in a way that brings glory from people, you do it in a way that people also can see the greatness. In other words, you don't do it in a way that's going to bring derision from people. First concern is do it the right way. But even if you're doing it the right way, you can do it in a way that is that brings praise from people, or ways that it brings the other. For instance, a person wants to go to shul and daven on time. Right? So he has everything set out. He has the right time, and he has the right shul, and he has the right kavana. Except he runs to shul and steps on people's toes on the way. So that's tiferes lo me'aseha. That's bringing glory to God, but it's not bringing glory from people. Why do you have to step on people's toes? So after you've got the right time, the right place, the right kavanas, make sure you don't step on people's toes. You can do it in a way that's nice also, that brings glory from people also. And the Rabbeinu Bachya says that this refers to the laws that are more rational laws. That's Hayosher Beinavtas. You do them because they're the right thing to do. They're more rational laws. Those are called Mitzvah Sichlios. And the Rambam says, when it comes to those laws, you should do them because they're the right thing to do. Right? Not just because God said to do them, but because God said to do them, I know they're the right thing to do. They're straight. They're proper. Meaning the following. In some mitzvahs, the Rambam says, a person should do them not because he feels that they're the right thing, but because that's what God said to do. I don't have to make my feelings, right, I don't have to make my feelings go along with what I'm doing. In other words, like this, let me tell you an example. A person shouldn't say, right, ugh, it's disgusting to eat pig. I'm not eating because it's abominable. No. It probably tastes very good. I'm not eating it because it's abominable. I'm not eating because God said not to eat it. God didn't say that pig is abominable and it tastes bad. He just said you're not allowed to eat it. So I don't have to accommodate my feelings to make myself feel that pig is something disgusting physically. Spiritually, yes, but not physically. Right? Pig is probably great. Probably tastes great. People who eat it pay money for it. Must taste okay. Right? So I don't have to say, oh, I'm disgusted with pig. I should say I'm not disgusted at all, right? But God said not to do it. So spiritually, right, I think it's a terrible thing. But physically, it probably tastes very good. But I can't eat it because God said not. On the other hand, when it comes to rational mitzvahs, a person shouldn't say, oh, I'd love to steal, but what can I do? God said not. There, in rational things, God wants you to accommodate your feelings to the mitzvah, where you should feel it's an abomination to steal. It's the wrong thing to do, right? The right thing is not to steal. So that's how Yosher Bein Avtase refers, as Rabbeinu Bachya says, to rational things. In rational things, you don't say, oh, I'd love to do the thing, but what can I do? God said it's usher. There you say, I want to accommodate and mold my feelings to what God said is talking not the proper thing to do. That's mostly things, yeah, mostly things. But he says even things that are Bein Olam Makom that are rational too. Okay. Then there's the next thing. The Hazanta leMitzvosav. You will pay attention to his commandments. The Ibn Ezra says this refers to negative commandments, which is Yiras Hashem, fearing God, not transgressing the negative things. That's called paying attention to the mitzvahs. Rashi says paying attention to the mitzvahs means that you'll do them properly. You'll pay attention carefully to make sure that you fulfill them properly, not just in general, but you'll have all the details or whatever, right? And the Rabbeinu Bachya says this refers to the kinds of mitzvahs that are not rational, that are mitzvahs shamios, mitzvahs that we had to be commanded to know. We wouldn't have done them because we have an inkling that they're the right thing to do, right? Like not eating chazer. The Torah didn't prohibit chazer, there'd be absolutely no reason to differentiate between eating cow meat or eating pig meat. It's only because the Torah came along and said pig meat is wrong that it's wrong. Not wrong because rationally there's something wrong with it. Then we go to the next level. Vishomarta kol chukav. The Rabbeinu Bachya here says these are the kind of mitzvahs that are not only not rational, but they're mitzvahs that we don't even know the idea behind them, the taste. Most people have no idea what their reason is at all. Now, some mitzvahs are not rational, but the Torah at least lets us know what the idea behind them is. Okay, but some mitzvahs are beyond rationale completely. They're super rational. Okay, those are like poraduma, right? Shatnes, mitzvahs that most people have no idea what the idea behind them is. Those are also mitzvahs that you have to keep. Shomarta kol chukav. Okay. Now the Meir La'olam says the following. He says that if you take the whole pasuk in together, right, we have a whole prescription of how to accept the mitzvahs and what's entailed. He says that there are two parts to every mitzvah. There's the command, where you have to relate to God, who is your master, and you're doing the master's command, and then the master will give you reward for keeping it or punishment for rebelling against him, right? And that has nothing to do with understanding the essence of the mitzvah itself. I don't really care what the mitzvah is. Main thing is the command. I'm doing God's will, right? What his will is his business. I'm going to do it because God said to do it, not because there's a benefit in the mitzvah itself, per se. That's one aspect. Then there's a second aspect. That's called Shamoa Tishma Lekol Hashem Elokecha. Relate to God as a commander, as a master, and do his command, irrespective of what the command is. The main thing is who's doing, giving the command. And then the punishment and reward will come from the commander, not necessarily from the mitzvah that you did. Then there's another aspect, v'hazanta l'mitzvosav. Pay attention to the mitzvah itself, because the mitzvah itself is beneficial, and not doing it is detrimental. And doing an aveira is detrimental. There the essence of the mitzvah is the main thing. I'm doing it because it's the right thing to do, and it's a beneficial thing to do, and if I don't do it, I'm going to lose out, I'm going to get punished, because the thing itself is like a poison if you don't do it, or if you do the wrong thing. Okay? So then it says, if you do mitzvahs on both levels, you are concerned about the mitzvah itself and realizes that there's an intrinsic benefit to the mitzvah and an intrinsic detriment if you don't do the mitzvah. And you also you relate to God as a commander, where the essence of the mitzvah is not the main thing. The main thing is the command. Then I will see to it that all the sickness that you got in Mitzrayim, that the mitzvah you got in Mitzrayim, won't devolve on you. Not from me as a punishment, and not intrinsically, because you'll be doing what's right. Ki ani Hashem, I am God, meaning I'm your master. That refers to the command. Rofecha, and your doctor who tells you what's beneficial and what's not beneficial. So you have both aspects of these mitzvahs. Okay, that's one part. So this gives us an idea of how to observe mitzvahs. Many ideas, as the Torah Shleima said, that this pasuk is a general directive on mitzvahs in general. Then there's another thing in the center. After Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people, don't go out on Shabbos to collect the man, it won't be there. So the people go out to see if there's man Friday night. Right? They didn't believe him. They went out to collect man. There was no man, but they went to collect it. So God is angry at Moshe, and he says, how long will you refuse, including Moshe, you, plural. So Rashi speaks about it. The Sfarno is the one we're going to mention. Why is Moshe included? He didn't go out to get them on. Why is, how long will you, meaning including Moshe, he should have said, how long will they not keep my mitzvahs? Not you. Well, Moshe didn't do anything. So the Sfarno says a phenomenal thing. He says, even though Moshe Rabbeinu didn't go out to collect them on with them, so he didn't transgress this idea of not going out for the man on Friday night, but he, to a certain degree, was the cause of why they did. Because all he did was tell them, don't go out and collect man. He didn't tell them why not, what the mitzvah is, what the reason why collecting man on Shabbos is prohibited. Right? He didn't give them the background, the halachic background. He just told them, don't do it. When you tell somebody not to do something, what's a natural human reaction? I'm going to do it. Right? You tell me not to, I have a resistance to that. But if you would have explained to them, right, the halachos or whatever, right? You just told them, there won't be any man. So they didn't believe you, right? That's natural, right? You tell somebody they want to go see for themselves. If you had told them the halachos of why it's prohibited to go out and collect mon on Shabbos. What malacha is it? You would have given the halacha background in detail. They would have learned it, not just heard from you a command. They would have understood it halachically, right? What is the problem, right? And they would have heard it in all its detail. And, second thing, you would have told them the idea behind Shabbos. Why Shabbos we don't do malacha? What's the concept behind it? What's the philosophy of it? The hashkafa of Shabbos. And you would have also told them the reward and punishment that one gets for keeping Shabbos or desecrating the Shabbos, which includes, therefore, three things. Halacha, hashkafa, and musar. Those are the three aspects of a mitzvah that if somebody learns the mitzvah in its full entirety, he understands the halachic. Yeah. Halacha, that's all of the details of the structure of the mitzvah, what it entails exactly, halachically. Okay. And hashkafa, he understands the concept of the mitzvah. He understands the philosophy behind it as much as he can. Again, this is not a prerequisite for doing it. This is after you accept to do it. But after you accept to do it, if you'll understand all of this, it'll enhance your keeping it. And the musar, you'll understand the reward, the punishment. Then, he says, who wouldn't keep these mitzvahs? So had Moshe Rabbeinu taught the people the halachas, taught them the hashkafa, taught them the musar, they would have listened to him. But all he did was tell them, don't do this, yes, do this. It's natural, right? This will be, this won't be. It's natural for people to doubt that. Yeah. So, yeah. No, that's you came in late. We discussed the important purpose of Nasa and Nishma. That true, there's Nasa before the Nishma. You have to accept to do it before you understand. But there's also an idea of understanding. After the Nasa, there's a Nishma. Right? So there's also a mitzvah to understand as much as you can. Because even though you don't make the Nishma a prerequisite for the Nasa, but there's a mitzvah to understand as much as you can. And it's as much as you can understand, right, will make it easier for you to keep the mitzvah.
They
only understood Shabbos on a very primitive level. Right? They weren't keeping Shabbos for all the halacha. Shabbos was given only in Baruch at that point before the Torah was given. Right? The mitzvah of Shabbos, as the mitzvah of Shabbos, was only given at that point where this happened, right before the month in Baruch. But they're keeping Shabbos was only a customary kind of Shabbos. But halachas of Shabbos, they weren't given yet. Somebody else had a question? Probably means what happens like this. It says, first of all, that the Medrash says that Nosson Avira went and spread out mon Friday night. People went early in the morning. You're right. They didn't go Friday night. They went early in the morning Shabbos, right? Because Dasan Avim said Moshe's lying. There is mon. The birds ate the mon before they got there. So that's why we give food to the birds Erev Shabbos Shira, right, as a remembrance to this. So they went taco early in the morning to get the mon, but the Friday night was where the mon had been placed before by Dasan Avira. Right, so then they went early in the morning to get the mon, and that's when the Rabbanu Shlomo.
Why did they believe Moshe? That's
the Rabbi, not Moshe. Why? Because people naturally are skeptical. So if Dasan Avinu said there is, let's go see. Let's see who's right. We'll see for ourselves. They didn't believe them necessarily, but they had enough of a doubt to go and see.
Who was Dasan
Avinu? Dasan Avinu were the same people who were the people who were fighting in Mitzrayim, the Moshe Rabbeinu stopped the fight and they went and told Paro that he killed the Egyptian. They were the people who, when Moshe was not successful the first time he went to Paro, things got worse for the Jewish people. They came to complain, how come you did this to us? They were the people who joined Korach in his fight against Moshe, and that's where they were killed. They were troublemakers from the very beginning in Egypt. And one of my Kito in his Sefer explains that they really meant L'shem Shamayim. Right? They thought that Moshe Rabbeinu was taking them out early from Egypt and that he was doing the wrong thing. They knew they were supposed to be there for 100 years. They were leaving it after 210. So they thought he was leading them to destruction. So every spot along the way, they tried to obstruct him. So where it could be imagined that they were really championing what they thought was the cause of the Jewish people against this Moshe Rabbeinu, who was an imposter, everything was fine. But after the Torah was given, and what's it called, like Korach, which was Stab Machlokas, that they didn't have to get involved in, there it was obvious that their intentions were not pure. That's what they were killed already. Okay. So.